And you are listening to 3CR Community Radio Wednesday Breakfast. Thanks for tuning in, folks. It's 7:20 right now, and we have our next guest in the studio. We've got Andy and Violet in here from Extinction Rebellion to tell us a bit about the new Australian faction of Extinction Rebellion and to tell us about Extinction Rebellion's aims and how you, the listener, might get involved. Thanks for joining us, Andy and Violet.
Yeah, thanks, William. Thanks for having us.
So, first of all, can I ask you about Extinction Rebellion? We were talking a little earlier before we started the interview, and you were talking about how the Australian faction just started back in October. Mm-hmm. What was the impetus around that? Were you folks involved back in October?
Not for another month yet. The first meeting was just an international call to our connections in the UK. A wonderful woman called Jane made that call got together and started the first groundbreaking crew here, which were a lot of like the Stop Adani crew, Grey Power, a lot of existing really, really long-term activists who have been doing this a long time in Australia and heard about XR and heard about what they're trying to do and just wanted to jump on board and grab that chain as it was going.
Beautiful. It's sort of originated in the UK is sort of what I've read about Extinction Rebellion. Mm-hmm. What makes Extinction Rebellion distinct from other... Because there are lots of people who are working in the environmental activism space. What is it that makes Extinction Rebellion distinct from others?
Well, Extinction Rebellion isn't actually just focused on the climate emergency, for example. It's really trying to address this situation of humanity on the planet, which is causing the extinction of the rest of the life and pretty much leading to our own extinction. So it's actually seeing the big picture, and it's deciding that it's not acceptable, the path that we're heading on, mostly due to the actions of governments and corporations, and that we have a right and a duty to rebel in order to try and change that narrative.
Mm. Mm. And so Extinction Rebellion has a number of different stated goals, one of which being that you want to get the government to acknowledge that we're heading into an extinction. Is that right?
That's right. Not just the government, but the media as well. This should be front page news, you know. We just had the first mammal extinction in Australia here, the Bramble K, beautiful little mammal. And I think that the fact that we're, you know, the first person, First Nation, to really see that extinction says that we really need to step up and start doing
something. Yeah, it's terrifying that the anthropogenic climate change has led to a rise in sea level, which has just drowned the Bramble K mellowmouse.
That's right. And one of the scariest parts about the sea level rising is not actually, you know, the water coming up into our toes. It's actually that the water goes under the earth and salts the earth, so we actually won't be able to grow food. So it's really our food, air and water that are really under threat, not just ours, obviously. Every living being's food, water.
And what seems to make Extinction Rebellion different in this sense is messaging is a very important part of the project. And part of that messaging is that humans are animals and we rely on the earth and we are at risk of extinction if we don't change what we do. So can I ask you about the way that you treat humans in your organisation? It seems that other environmental organisations, they have a lot to say about creating safe spaces, which is fantastic, and practising listening. But it's a policy rather than embedded in the project of Extinction Rebellion. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, we have a really, really strong regenerative culture.
What do you mean by that?
Great. So we have a whole team of people who turn up to every event. Basically, they're to look after everybody's well-being. And they're really, all through the stages of planning any action or whatever, we really want to connect with making sure that the humans are well cared for, and if they hit any trouble, that they've got a support network around them. We have many psychologists on team. Obviously, it's really stressful. Like, you know, we spend all day talking and thinking about the extinction of every everything, and that's not easy, you know.
No, it's not.
So, we have basically people on team to really help move through that and support us, and that's really important. It's been so great, like, for me. I've been a part of the movement since November and definitely have used those support networks. And, I'm so grateful that they have that really embedded in the system.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely right. I have a friend who's involved in... actually, I won't say which specific organization that she's working for, but it's one that's involved direct action in a certain part of Australia.
Yeah.
And the result of that is that it's made sort of the climate emergency really real to her in an emotional sense. And so that's had some sort of impact on her psychically.
We talk a lot about grief, and, we go around and do talks, Andy and I, and about what XR do. And we definitely make sure that there's space in those talks for us to process the grief, because you do have to grieve. Like, it's like when you break up with someone, you have all this imagination of having children and having your house and all of that. And then you have to go through the grief of, like, letting go of that.
Right.
And it's the same thing here. We've been promised this future of, like, you know, Futurama style, and we're all going to have this amazing, like, flying around in cars and stuff. Yep. But, you know, that's just not our future. Mm. And we have to really accept that. And
even our present isn't sustainable.
That's correct. Yeah. Even our present is not sustainable at all. We're chewing up way too much energy. We've had a 150-year binge on fossil fuels, and it's been fun, but we can't continue.
Yeah, sorry, and just to jump in here, you guys say you go around and do a few talks, you know, to people. How do you break down this conception that, you know, humans are somehow different or elevated from animals? Because I know I was talking to someone the other day, and he went, yeah, but humans aren't animals, I don't know. And it's kind of like, what? We die the same, we live the same, we have the same basic needs. How do you break down that wall? Because I know it's just not something in our main culture.
I don't think that we do necessarily, as part of XR, break down that wall. We did have a couple of drinks at the pub after the talk last night, and we're definitely discussing that, and other, like, cultural things like veganism and, you know, what are the steps forward. I think at the end of the day, one really great thing about XR is we don't say that we have all the answers. We definitely, as part of built-in culture, have working groups who are gathering information for the Citizens Assembly, which we'll talk about as our third demand, to give to them. But it's really important that we don't start talking about the solution. The first step is really to acknowledge that there is a problem and make sure that that's pushed really hard. Is that there is a problem. Let's not argue about the final steps yet. Let's first make sure that we're on the right track to acknowledging reality, really, because if you're not acknowledging reality, you're insane. So,
and you can't contend with it.
Yeah, you can't contend, you can't act on it, and that's what's really important. Mm. Yeah.
And I think in terms of humans not being different from any other animals, it's to do with the realization and the trend in the scientific community now to speak out that we're actually facing an existential threat. It's the sixth mass extinction is not everything but humans. We're all in this together, and humans are very much facing the possibility of going extinct within this century, possibly sooner, based on the climate chaos and ecosystem breakdowns which we are just proliferating around the planet.
So can we talk about the event that happened last night? Unfortunately, I wasn't able to come along with a recorder. I would have loved to. We'll be at the next one with a little recording device. So we can share what happens. But what happened last night?
Basically, we got together. First, layout of the talk is that we make sure that people understand that we are in an emergency. We show some of the science. You know, 97% of scientists agree that the road we're heading on is disaster, and that we do need to do something about it. So we spent a lot of time just sinking that in, and then we talk about civil disobedience and why that's important, and why that's the avenue that we take. And it's because, for a long time, the climate activists have been basically lobbying to the current government system to get them to enact on the climate crisis, and they haven't been doing that. We need to now step it up and make an appropriate response to the situation. And do you want to speak on that at all, Andy? Yeah.
Well, basically, what we're in the process of doing is recruiting for the movement. And so we're doing this as an outreach talk, which basically provides the information and then talks about, yeah, the appropriate response, because it's a situation where the governments and corporations are pretty much actively gassing the planet. And this is with carbon dioxide, but if you think back to the analogy is made with the Nazis in World War II gassing the Jewish people and other people in the concentration camps. Like, if your government was actively doing this, you have a duty to rebel against something like this. Like, they have rendered the social contract void by exterminating us and the life in front of us.
Yeah. Mm. Speaking on the idea of a duty to act, something that I've read in the sort of manifesto of Extinction Rebellion is non-violence.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask a naughty question.
Yeah.
What is non-violence and what is the value of it in the face of a climate emergency?
I'd really love to talk to this. So it's something so, so passionate to me, obviously. I studied philosophy, so morally I am very, very, very against violence. But the stats is really what we want to talk about here. 75% of political movements or activist movements that include violence fail. So 75% fail. Of the 25% that do succeed, 95% of those end up in a totalitarian patriarchal regime, because once you incite violence, you lose the children, you lose the women, you lose the old people. So you just end up with a bunch of dudes hanging around trying to control society again. So yeah, obviously violence, no violence, we are really, really peaceful, and that's why we talk about arrestable offences and non-violent direct action. So we do training, NVDA training, before you're allowed to get on in on, well, we implore and ask people to touch base with us. Obviously with a decentralization, everybody's empowered, but if you're following the Extinction Rebellion code and principles, get in contact with us. We have plenty of resources to do training, non-violent direct action training, which is so amazing, which is basically teaching us how to peacefully and pleasantly talk to authority figures and discuss why we're there and all of that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's super important to keep that peaceful thing in mind. And yeah, is there anything else you want to add to that, Andy?
Well, if you have a non-violent protest, then and you treat the people who maybe want to move you along or the police want to arrest you with respect, then it enables a situation where if they back down because there's too many of you, then they don't lose face.
Mm.
And it enables just a better communication and understanding, because we're ultimately all on the same side. This isn't really meant to be an antagonistic thing, although that's a part of the process at this point to disrupt. But really, we're trying to do this for everyone, and it is for everyone.
Okay.
And it really does work. I was at Japrong last week, and the police were there intimidating us. And just because we had enough people there peacefully holding ground, they backed off. And so, you know, just, you know, standing peacefully and holding your ground in that peaceful way can really make a lot of change, because it shows that you're willing to put your body on the line, and not, you don't need to put anybody else in danger. You can just sort of put yourself in the situation, and that shows consent, and that shows how much it means to you, really. Yeah.
Yeah. On that topic, I think it might be worth mentioning to folks listening at home that they should tune in at 11 a.m. today to Fire First. There might be an update from Japurong there. For the last 2 days, there's been a stop work on the site, is my understanding.
That's right.
But that expires today. And so it'd be worth tuning into Fire First 11 a.m. Where they should be speaking to some folks at Top Camp, I believe it is. We'll find out more about that as the show progresses today.
Extinction Rebellion acknowledges the traditional owners of this land as well.
Yes, and you've been down at Japurong Heritage Protection Camp as well. So
that's
how we got in contact in the first place.
Yeah.
So I won't ask you any questions about that, because we've had you in the studio, and I don't want to take up too much more of your time. Can I ask, when's the next event, or how can people find out more about Extinction Rebellion if they want to?
Yeah, so we're having a talk today at 12.
12:30, actually, just around the corner from here at the Australian Catholic University. It's another presentation by a member of the rebellion, about how to be involved.
Then we've also got another mass planning meeting happening on the 6th of April. Where's that at, Andy?
At the Kathleen Syme Library in Carlton at 2 o'clock.
Yeah. And then, but the best thing you can do, we've got an Extinction Rebellion Facebook page, and ozrebellion.earth is our website. That's got a secure forum on there and all kinds of things. So that would be a really good place to go. And there's a private Facebook chat just for Victoria, which you have to answer questions for. If you don't answer the questions, then you can't get in. But yeah, that's Extinction Rebellion Vic or something. It'll be on the page. Find us online.
Website is ozrebellion.earth.
That's
there's
correct.
No domain at the end of that. Earth is the domain.
Yeah.
We're all on Earth and there's no escape. So we've got to fix it. Thank you so much, Violet and Andy, for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having us. It's
been fantastic hearing from you. We'll be right back, folks. You stay tuned. You're listening to Wednesday Breakfast here on 3CR Community Radio.